speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Thank you, and good afternoon. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Every person lives by faith of some sort. For example, some men live by faith in themselves. A popular philosophy of man is humanism. Humanists believe that mankind is capable of doing anything that needs to be done without divine assistance. They believe that the human mind is capable of analyzing and solving any of the serious difficulties now facing humanity, such as war, racial hatred, social injustice. And they're devoted to social reform and involve themselves in crusades for various causes, some causes of varying worth, and they're attempting to lift man by his own bootstraps, so to speak. These individuals feel no need of looking beyond themselves for a faith by which to live. My friends, I cannot accept that humanistic creed, because the history of men and nations demonstrate that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, as Jeremiah said so long ago. Then on the other hand, there are many people who are living by their faith in things. The all-important obsession of their lives is to get more money, more houses, or finer house, finer automobile, expensive clothing. Most people, including most Christians, are caught up in the pursuit of things. They're suffering what some have called stuffitis. They've got so much stuff, they don't know what to do with it. And putting emphasis on stuff to the neglect of spiritual values. We would probably label that philosophy as materialism. The Bible calls it mammon and says, in the words of Christ, "You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than the raiment?" Matthew 6, 24 and 25. And there are numerous other false faiths which could be cited, but these are sufficient to see the meaning that every man lives by faith of some kind. But as always been the case, these false faiths have failed men in times of crisis. Mankind is involved in all kinds of crisis and is unable to find a workable solution by his own wisdom. Rebellion in schools and colleges and on the street is evidence of the fact that people are fed up with these faiths which have been handed them. They want something more stable and satisfying. They don't know where to find it. And little needs to be said about the failure of humanism. Man has proven that he's not sufficiently wise to deal with the problems that's found in our complex world. At the turn of the century, men were buoyed by an optimism that knew no bounds. They thought that man had come to the age in the field of philosophy and science and technology, that progress was inevitable. Men talked of the end of wars, a universal prosperity. Then came World War I and shattered those dreams. But still undaunted and still confident in man's power to set his affairs in order without divine guidance, that war was declared to be the war to end all wars. It ended in 1918. And so humanists again began to speak about the inborn goodness and wisdom. They knew that war as an instrument of international diplomacy was ended. Man was getting better and better was the cry of the humanists. Then came Adolf Hitler on the scene and World War II. Then came the Korean conflict, the Vietnam conflict, the Middle East crisis. Man is not the measure of his world. The wisdom required to set this world aright is not within man's unaided power. Materialism, the belief in things, has been no more successful for mankind's advancement than humanism has. Money, good housing, nice clothes have not made men basically better. Instead, they have fostered even more greed and crime. Young people, often misguided, have turned away from materialism. It led what some of us remember as the hippie movement, the dropouts. Well, all I've had to say is that materialism doesn't meet man's need. Man needs faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of man. That's the faith that's needed in this generation and every generation. Man's desire for faith, his desire to believe in someone or something, is a result of felt needs which he's unable to satisfy by himself. We need security, a sense of freedom from guilt, and a hope for something better in the future. Only faith in Jesus Christ is able to provide that satisfaction. Man needs a sense of freedom from guilt. Many a person's head rests uneasy upon his pillow at night because of the guilt feelings that he or she has. They range in magnitude from the 20-year-old woman who stole a few dollars from a friend when they were in high school a few years ago, to maybe the middle-aged person who's committed adultery. And how can I live with my conscience, they're asking. How do I face my friends? How can I hope to make the kind of life for myself and my family that I want to make? Man is simply unable to bear the burden of guilt which he accumulates through the years. Mental institutions are filled with people who are broken under the weight of the guilt that they feel. The justification of forgiveness made possible in Christ releases one from the guilt of his sin. This is the basis for the joy one feels upon becoming a Christian. A typical case is that of the Ethiopian eunuch we read of in Acts 8. After he was taught about Jesus and about obedience to Christ, he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And after his baptism, as he and Philip both went down to the water, He came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. The universal need of mankind in this regard is expressed by the psalmist in these words in Psalms 51. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Verse 2 and 3, verse 7, verse 12. This sense of total release from sin is found only in Christ. And furthermore, man needs security. Man needs confidence that the future holds only those things that will prove bearable. Again, unaided, man feels helpless to satisfy this need. But through Christ, he's able to live in confidence that God will see that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8, verse 28. He accepts God's promise to supply his physical needs if he's willing to put spiritual matters first in his life. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Matthew 6, verse 33. Then there's the ultimate assurance of eternal security and happiness, which God has prepared for the faithful all ages in heaven. We read in Revelation 7, verse 16 and 17, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, shall guide them into fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." Yes, friends, man needs are satisfied through faith in Christ. But it must be borne in mind that a particular type of faith is required on the part of the one who desires these blessings. Saving faith is the faith that causes one to give himself in loving obedience to the commands of God. Notice again the text used in the beginning, "The righteous shall live by faith." The very wording of that text makes it clear that faith is not something you get, it's something you do. Faith, in the Bible sense, is something to live. The meaning is that one maintains his righteous manner of life by continuing to exercise his faith in God. Just as surely as one quits exercising his faith by obedience to God's commands, his faith will cease to exist. James put it this way in James 2:26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead, being alone." The man who would be saved from his past sins must have a strong enough faith to obey the Lord's commands. Christ said in Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And Paul said in Acts 17:30, that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He must then be willing to confess his faith in Christ before others. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. He must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. And Peter commanded those penitent people on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for," or in order, "to receive the remission of your sins," Acts 2:38. Upon being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, such a person is added to Christ's spiritual body, the church. Acts 2:47, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And then as a child of God, he must continue to exercise his faith in regular worship according to the New Testament pattern. Regularly be involved in prayer, in Bible study, and in spiritual activities that would lead one to grow in grace and in knowledge. This deep and abiding faith, which is developed by this process, is sufficient to meet one's greatest spiritual needs. And indeed, the righteous shall live by faith. One's faith in Christ also enables him to possess two secondary forms of faith which are essential to living the Christian life, and that is faith in other people and faith in self. Both these have their origin in one's primary faith in Christ. And we want to notice more about this kind of faith tomorrow. Until then, a very pleasant good afternoon.